Joyce Meyer says, prayer is simply talking to God like a friend and should be the easiest thing we do each day. Martin Luther said, to be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing. And Mother Teresa said, prayer is not asking, prayer is putting oneself in the hands of God, at his disposition, and listening to his voice in the depth of our heart. In one of my readings I read the other day, there was this short word from the word for today, daily reading. And it says that science recognizes the power of prayer. God's word clearly tells us to pray about everything. Today, science is beginning to recognize the value and the power of prayer. Researchers investigating the role of faith in health are discovering evidence that's hard to refute. For example, a 2014 study conducted by the Mind Health Report confirmed that people who engage in private prayer, intercessory prayer, and church activities are healthier and live longer. Here are some additional benefits. Florida State University researchers found that praying for somebody increases your readiness to forgive them. When a group of men and women prayed for the well-being of a close friend every day for 4 weeks, they were more willing to forgive not only the friend, but people in general. Forgiveness is associated with better overall health and satisfaction with life. The University of Miami researchers discovered that prayer and religious practices improve your ability to pursue and achieve long-term goals. Prayer affects regions in your brain that improve self-control, and people who view their goals as sacred are more determined to attain them. A research study conducted by the University of Wisconsin, Madison, concluded that victims of abusive relationships recovered a positive self-image and reduced their emotional pain when their lives included prayer. Columbia University researchers found that people who value religion and regularly attend church are 90% less likely to suffer from depression than their non-religious peers. That's pretty strong evidence in favour of prayer, wouldn't you say? So imagine, for those of you who are married, if you spoke to your spouse first thing in the morning, asking their advice, told them you loved them, then totally ignored them for the rest of the day until you spoke with them the next morning. Some husbands, wives might be quite happy about that, but I think majority wouldn't be very happy. But I think that is how we sometimes treat God. Pray in the morning, tell him we love him, that's it. Life gets in the way for the rest of the day, and then we pray again in the morning. Prayer changes things. He hears our confessions and gives us his forgiveness. He wipes the slate clean. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Hebrews 8:12. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. Sorry, just corrected. This next bit that I'm going to talk about might be a bit difficult for me, but I know it needs to be said. There might be someone listening to this who might be hurting because they prayed, but God didn't answer. Do you believe with all your heart that God answers prayer? Do you? Adrian said last week about how some say God answers three ways: yes, no, and not yet. Catherine's dad said there was a fourth: do it yourself. Well, I believe 100% that God answers. I may not understand his answer, but I know he loves me, and I know, and he knows what is the best answer for me. I pray for over 43 years for Keith's salvation, for those that don't know, that's my husband. And then in his last year, his healing. As far as the world is concerned, neither happened. But I know that God is a great God, and my prayers weren't unanswered. I know without doubt that Keith is with the Lord and he is totally healed, able to breathe and walk normally without pain or discomfort. Obviously, I wish with all my heart that he was still with me. Sorry. But why would I bring him back to the painful journey he was going through? And I know that God has been teaching me things that I wouldn't have learned if I hadn't have gone through this horrible journey of grief. He has given me strength I didn't know I had. Please don't misunderstand me. This journey is horrid and more painful than any other thing I've ever gone through. I still cry most nights because he isn't there next to me. But God comforts me and fills me with his love. He has put people in my life that I wouldn't have met if I hadn't had lost him. And those friends I had before have become even stronger friends. We pray for faith that will move mountains, but we never ask for the miracle. Most of us believe that God can do the miraculous. Am I right? Do we all believe that God can do the miraculous? But we never ask him for the miraculous and the impossible. We want to see a miracle, but we are too afraid to ask for one. Instead, we play the what if game. What if I pray for healing and it never comes? What if I ask for a financial miracle and I lose my home? What if I step out of the boat and I sink? So rather than asking big, we keep our requests to ourselves because we could look like fools if it doesn't happen the way we hope it will. I'm reminded of where Peter steps out of the boat to walk towards Jesus. And some people, I know I've probably thought, well, he made a right mess of that because he took his eyes off Jesus. But he took that step out of that boat. The other disciples that were in the boat with him didn't. So who were the bigger fools? Or we even worry about how God may appear if he doesn't deliver on our requests. So we sit silently. The point is, we can believe he is able all day long, but we must have enough faith to make our requests known to him. God wants to give us so much, but we seem to content to ask for a mini when God has a Mercedes planned for us. The Lord's Prayer gives us a roadmap for how to pray for direction from Jesus himself. It can be used as an outline when we pray. Our Father in heaven, who art in heaven, dear Lord, hallowed be thy name. You are holy, you are good, you are kind, you are glorious. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May your will be done here on earth just as it is in heaven. Bring heaven to earth through your people as we follow you. Give us this day our daily bread. Provide for us all what we need just for today, like the manna. If you remember the manna as they were in the wilderness for 40 years was the manna that God sent, and they had to collect it, but the next day it was no good. So he provided them for the day. Forgive us our trespasses. Jesus, forgive me for my sins and for all my guilt. I repent of the things I've done that are the opposite of your will for my life and for how I've hurt others and betrayed you. As we forgive those who have trespassed against us, God, I am so hurt by that person's action against me. Even though it's caused me pain, cost me financially, and hurt me relationally, I choose to forgive them because you forgive me Help me to forgive if and when hard feelings come up again. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Holy Spirit, guide me. Help me to hear you, listen to you, and follow you, so I stay away from what is harmful, unwise, and harmful. Sorry. I want to stay on your path and do what is right and good. We must recognise that temptation is real and a daily threat to communion with God. The most dangerous thing a Christian can ever do is believe that he, she is somehow immune to temptation. To hear the words from a Christian say, I would never do that because I'm a Christian. When that happens, Satan sits up and takes notice. In fact, failing to account for the dangers of temptation betrays a severe misunderstanding of the gospel. In the gospel, we come to recognise both the depravity of our hearts and the freedom of God's grace in Christ. It turns our attention away from our own strength to the strength of another. Jesus doesn't teach us to pray, Lord, give me more willpower in the fight against sin. He teaches us to ask for shepherding and deliverance when he says, lead us not into temptation and deliver us from evil. These words express a heart of dependency, not self-sufficiency. He doesn't teach us to pray that God might help a lot or give strength. We do not meet God halfway and trust him to do the rest. Rather, God does it all. He is the deliverer. We are the delivered. He is the saviour. We are the saved. The Bible doesn't teach that God helps those who help themselves. Instead, God helps those who are at the end of themselves. We must pray for endurance in the fight against temptation. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. You are my God. Where else would I go but to you? You are omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. You are all-powerful, all-knowing, and always present. I adore you and worship you. Thank you, God, for your goodness. Amen. So we'll sing our final hymn, but I think we will play that other one.